Welcome to the Far and Beyond podcast, hosted by the Contracts and Fiscal Law Department of the Judge Advocate General's Legal Center and School. This podcast is for the federal government attorney navigating the complex intersection of acquisitions and fiscal law and policy. I am your host, Major Ellie Sewell.
And I'm Major Steve Soli.
Today on Far and Beyond, we are getting into the weeds of the Revolutionary FAR Overhaul, or RFO. We're expanding our looks at parts 1 through 4. Although these are not the parts that many people are looking at, it's worth noting the changes and some of the deletions that have happened with the RFO.
And it's not just the FAR that's been overhauled. The agency-specific regulations are also seeing some class deviations. So the DFARS is also changing.
Yes, the revolution is total. That was a bad one. The Department of War has already issued class deviations for DFARS parts 201, 203, and 204 to align with the RFO. So if you're a DOW contracting officer, effective February 2026, you're using these new DFARS sections along with the revised FAR.
How about a notice and comment? Has that gone out yet?
No, notice and comment has not started yet. It's slated to start in April, is what I'm told. And I think they're trying to get all the parts released by the end of May. All of what we're talking about is subject to change should something come out of the notice and comment period.
So we could see some changes to the changes to the changes. Is that right?
Exactly. But I think it's worth going over what has changed simply because we are using these deviations right now. So your KOs are going to have questions on these newly issued parts, and even if they may change again in the next few months, you can't just bury your head in the sand during this time period since we're already using the changes.
All right, well, we could see about that. We could start with part one, though. So what's changed so far?
So FAR part one is now focusing on mission first by meeting an agency's mission efficiently and effectively. It really explains that the FAR is focusing on customer satisfaction, promoting the use of commercial products and services, reinforces competitive procurement, and encourages innovative approaches.
Okay, this makes sense with all the focus on acquisition reform throughout the Department of War and more broadly the federal government.
So yes, it's about streamlining. So the RFO deleted subparts 1.2 and subpart 1.5 because they are covered by internal governance and rulemaking already handled by the APA, like the notice and comment I mentioned before. The KO's authority has moved from 1.6 to subpart 1.4, and determination and findings moved from 1.7 to subpart 1.5.
And for my Department of War, folks?
So DFARS 201.103 now mirrors that mission first push. It explicitly states the primary objective is to acquire quality supplies and services that provide measurable improvements to mission capability at a fair price. Also, if you need a deviation from the rules on procurement integrity, DP cap, or defense pricing, contracting, and acquisition policy is now your official approval authority. It has also pushed a lot of information into DFARS Procedures, Guidance, and Information, or PGIs. So if you can't find something in the DFARS, check the PGI.
Okay. I also reviewed some of the FAR Part 2 definitions. I noticed that some things like sustainable acquisition is just gone. Those are gone, right?
Yes, it is. So terms like environmental preferable and waste reduction were removed entirely. Others like pollution prevention moved to FAR Part 23. We also brought the definition for the government-wide commercial purchase card in from FAR Part 13 to FAR Part 2 now.
So if we can't find a definition, it's just deleted from the regulation?
Not quite. So guidance that I've received is that you still need to check 48 CFR, as this law still controls for now. So if you can't find it in the RFO, still check for the old definition. But you still also need to check definitions in general, just because some of them may have changed, like COTS and micro-purchase have changed slightly. So it is worth going back to look in the new RFO to see what those definitions are now to see if it affects you at all.
So let's move to FAR Part 3, improper business practices. I'm guessing the ethics rules are still there.
So the fundamental rules of integrity are the same. That hasn't changed, but we have cut some of the fat down. So all the subparts remain and keep the same structure. Section 3.301 on anti-competitive practices was deleted because it has no enforceable rules. And then Section 3.907 and Clause 52.203-15 regarding the whistleblower protections under the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009 is also gone because that act expired.
Okay, so anti-competitive practices because no enforceable rules and expired acts gone. All right, we won't miss those. Anything else?
So actually for the DoD, we do have some specific whistleblower rules in place. So those are still covered under DFARS. So DFARS 203.9 provides whistleblower policies that you must use in lieu of FAR 3.901 through 3.906. It implements 10 U.S.C. 4701 specifically for contractor employees. So for DOW contracts over $7.5 million, you have to use the DFAR clause 252.203-7004 instead of the FAR version.
All right, $7.5 million, got it. And we're still doing the same thing we were doing under the FAR before the RFO. Look for the agency supplement for the more specific rule.
Correct, yep.
Okay. All right, so how about our senior officials, Pentagon, industry, any other ethics opinions? I've seen some concerns for ethic advisors about senior Pentagon officials leaving the industry. Is that still there?
Yep, that's still covered in DFARS 203.171. So covered officials who expect compensation from a contractor within 2 years of leaving DOW service must request a written ethics opinion. So contractors are prohibited from knowingly paying them unless they verify that opinion was received or at least requested.
Okay, that's high stakes there for those contractors.
Yes.
Now let's talk about the heavy reorganization in FAR Part 4. It follows the acquisition lifecycle now?
Yes. When looking at the changes, it really is just a reorganization to make it easier and faster to find the needed information. So it does look vastly different, but the information's still there, just renumbered and under some different headings. So very little was actually cut from FAR Part 4. Subpart 4.1 is now pre-solicitation. 4.2 is solicitation and award, and then 4.3 is post-award. Your signature requirements move to 4.206 and 4.207, and both the FAR and DFARS 204.206 now explicitly allow digital signatures using PIV or CAC certificates.
Okay, I mean, that's good. I mean, we sign everything with our PIV or CAC certificate yes. Now. But where did the other security stuff go, like the Huawei restriction or the Kaspersky bans?
So this is what they're calling as like the security exodus. So everything security related that was kind of just like thrown into FAR Part 4 has now been moved to the newly created FAR Part 40s. So anything related to Kaspersky, ByteDance, supply chain risk, all migrated to the newly created FAR Part 40. FAR Part 4 is now strictly administrative.
Okay, what about reporting? The commercial sector doesn't really like all that paperwork.
So there is some relief in subpart 4.3. So reporting for executive compensation and the service contracts inventory is no longer required for commercial services contracts. However, for DOW services, the DFARS 204.303 threshold is still $3 million for specific portfolio groups like logistics and knowledge-based services.
Okay, and I assume the DOW still has its own special system to check?
Absolutely. So DFARS 204.76 now formally requires the use of the Supplier Performance Risk System, or SPRS. So KOs must consider price and supplier risks from SPRS as part of the award decision. Also, don't forget ACRNs. DFARS 204.202-74 still requires those alphanumeric codes to ensure traceability of funds from the accounting system to the contract.
All right, so summarized, digital signatures are in, security moved to FAR Part 40, SPRS is mandatory for our DOW folks, and I need to check my DFARS for specific whistleblower rules. That's a lot to map.
It is, but remember, the goal is kind of to reduce a checkbox mentality. The RFO and the matching DFARS deviations want you to use your professional judgment rather than getting lost in a maze of redundant subparts.
And it sounds like a lot of reorganization to make it easier to find information that you're looking for.
Oh, absolutely. That is one thing when comparing them side by side. It is so much easier to find the information you're looking for because it's more intuitive. Before, I think a lot of information was just kind of thrown at the end over and over again when new acts, laws, rules, policies changed. Now they've kind of actually organized it in a way that's easier to find information and just more intuitive.
So now we just have to wait for notice and comment to see if any of this changes.
I hope the organization doesn't change. Maybe some of the actual language may change, but I'm really hoping that how they've organized it stays the same.
I'm going to propose blood signatures instead of digital signatures. Is that fine?
That is absolutely fine. All right. You make that comment.
Okay, thank you.
All right, next time, hopefully we're going to be looking at FAR Part 5 and the digital future of publicizing contract actions. There have been a lot of changes in FAR Part 5. I hope you're excited.
I am. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for joining us today in this episode of Far and Beyond. Please make sure to follow us and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. We love to hear from our listeners. Please continue to reach out to us on Facebook and LinkedIn. The information can be found in the show notes from today's episode. The views expressed today are those of the presenters, not that of the Judge Advocate General Corps, the Department of the Army, the Department of the Air Force, or the Department of War.